The Language of Secrets by Asma Zehanet Khan. Read by Peter Ganim. Blood leaked from his stomach onto the snow, joined by a second flow from his right leg, a deep red oozing that made him wonder how long it would take for the stars to fade and whether anyone would come in response to his calls. But why would any of the others come now? Wouldn't coming to Mohsin's rescue endanger everything the others had worked toward, everything they had planned for, everything they were still planning now? To call the police or summon an ambulance, to do everything in their power to save his life when they had retreated to the woods for secrecy and darkness. No, the others would make a calculation, the same one they had made many times before. What was one life measured against the impact of the Nakba? What was one 40-year-old Shaheed when they were prepared to sacrifice innocence to their cause? The night was purple, the stars a blurry reminder of the difference between Mohsin and the others, the light against the darkness, and other such clichés. Mohsin had been pretending all this time, shaking things up to see how they fell out. He'd yielded to one leash, then another, jerked this way and that, nobody aware of what he was really up to. What had Mohsin been doing with these people, these jihadists in the woods, scrambling around under cover of darkness, pretending to hunt one another like snipers? The real question was, what wasn't he doing? Even Sittara didn't know the answer to that. He'd tried to be careful, using details from his life to build a fragile trust that would widen his network of contacts. He'd thought he'd been successful. People had trusted him, relied upon him, accepted his decision-making. They'd traveled to the backcountry of Algonquin at his suggestion. The winter camp had been Mohsin's idea. Or maybe Hassan had steered him in this direction, hunter rather than prey. Don't encourage them to do anything they wouldn't choose to do on their own. It was the mantra against entrapment, learned by rote at many after-hours meetings at hole-in-the-wall kebab shops, where the dour was salty and the kubide sublime. He clarified his thoughts, the December chill scraping against his face. Not for the first time, he wished he'd opted for a fuller beard with the signature of a mustache above it. But Sittara hadn't wanted him to keep a beard at all. He thought of his wife with regret, of the growing distance between them in the weeks before the camp. She had wanted to come with him. How badly she had wanted to come. And if he'd really been planning a camping trip, he would have welcomed her presence beside him. But not this, not now. Now he could be grateful that she was far away and safe.